You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Planning to go see this movie after listening to our review? Well, click on the helpful Fandango link right at the bottom of the page to buy your tickets. So I guess really the only thing in watching The Boss that I thought was kind of redeeming was the idea that maybe Donald Trump would watch this movie and his heart would grow 3 sizes.
It's going to be huge. It's like, huge, Jerry. Huge.
Yeah. So this target audience is basically Grinches.
Yes. Well, and like everyone in this movie is about as dumb as most Donald Trump fans.
It's a sack of rocks.
Yeah. Like really God. Like Homer Simpson post third season Simpsons dumb.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that level of dumb. And that's why I think it could appeal to Trump. Because they're like, I identify with these people. Well, I mean, no, I actually say that because this movie, The Boss, which is the latest Melissa McCarthy vehicle, however, not one with her often saving grace, Paul Feig.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's not the Bruce Springsteen biopic.
No. This is directed by her husband, Ben Falcone.
Yeah. Ben Falcone.
If you're wondering, the other collaboration with her and him, it was Tammy. And so there you go.
Tammy was a lot better than this.
And he's actually a decent character actor. He was the guy who played the lawyer in one scene of this. And you know, they seem like a nice couple, but we need to stop giving them vanity projects.
But like I said, the reason I thought of Trump is because basically she's playing this sort of Trump in the early 90s type character.
She's playing a cross between Martha Stewart, Susie Orman,
Hillary Clinton,
and hey.
Hey, I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Maybe back in the Walmart days.
Yeah. She's like a cross between the worst parts of Hillary Clinton and the best parts of Donald Trump.
There's some particularly awful pantsuits happening.
The non-Hitlery parts.
But they're mostly going with Martha Stewart in here because she gets caught insider trading against her ex-boyfriend, played by Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage.
Misappropriator. So she does a short stint in a country club type prison. She gets out and surprise, all of her stuff has been seized by the authorities. She has no more money.
She has
literally made a career of climbing up the ladder and immediately pissing on anybody below her.
And burning the ladder.
Yes. Yeah. And burning the ladder and mailing the ashes to the relatives of the people that she's hurt.
So really the only person she has left in her life was her personal assistant, who was a woman of immense internal strength to do her job as long as she could.
Or an idiot.
Yeah, or a blithering idiot, which in this movie seems more likely.
Played by
Kristen Bell.
Or just very codependent, to where maybe like they work together because they both, like, she...
I gotta say, Hollywood, you need to figure out what the fuck we're going to do about the Kristen Bell problem. Because there's a big Kristen Bell problem. She is charismatic as all hell. She has obviously shown that she can carry a vehicle. Veronica Mars was incredible. The Veronica Mars movie was very good.
Yeah.
She's personable, charming. Just watch her on late night TV. She's just wonderful as all get out.
Super charismatic.
Super charismatic.
And yet they keep putting her in these second banana roles in films. Usually they're having her as a villain, which is bizarre.
Yes.
I feel like she sort of balances it out, though. Like, I really hated this movie in the beginning of it. And the only thing that kept me invested long enough for me to get to the rest of it was Kristen Bell.
Oh, yeah, and the hope that she was going to impale Melissa McCarthy with a kryptonite spear, and no matter what their mother's names were, it wasn't going to change a thing in the way that scene played out.
That's the stupidest fucking thing of all
time. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. And sorry,
I got distracted. I'm sorry.
And sorry, fanboys, it had an 81% drop on Friday.
Wow, we're
so
still...
Suck it.
We're still...
Sorry. Sorry, I made a huge error.
Yes. let's back off.
But I did live through keeping this movie with the hope that there was going to be a point, there would be a fight scene where Kristen Bell beat the holy shit out of Melissa McCarthy.
You would think that would be a natural thing, but instead they blew their budget on a scene of two Girl Scout troops fighting each other. And some bizarre heist flick that is pegged on to the last 10 minutes of this.
Super lazy screenwriting 101.
Oh, yeah. And the, like, b- both of those scenes are so fucking telegraphed. It's like somebody, if you saw this movie, somebody probably came to your house 10 years ago and told you the jokes.
Yeah. And you know, and speaking of that, like Kristen Bell, yeah, she takes her in. She's got a little daughter there. A lot of the jokes are about inappropriate humor in front of children. And the other jokes are about anachronistic inappropriate humor, children doing inappropriate things. And you're like, that's the bulk of the jokes in this movie. And then maybe 30% pratfalls out of nowhere. Yeah.
There's a little light Susan of homophobia, too. and a slight hint of racism.
There's a lot of hint of racism. but I tell you, even with all my complaints about the movie, and this is something I think y'all are going to hate.
Awesome.
But it almost feels like...
Here we go.
Let me take this other shoe off and drop it.
Let me strap myself in first. So I can't resist and... Okay, I'm fully strapped in.
And I promise you I'm not stroking out here.
Go ahead.
Like, it almost feels like this movie is written so basically that it's really not for us. Everything is so telegraphed. It's for people who want it to be that telegraphed. I felt like I was watching the comedy version of NCIS. Like, this is for people that all they want to do is go to the movies on a Saturday, watch a movie where they know the jokes are going to be there. They're like, I'm going to laugh at that fat girl. It's going
to
be great.
At least... Yeah. To this movie, the boss.
For people who want to be distracted by flickering lights.
I will get... You know, the only point of credit I can give this film is at least she didn't fall back on, I'm fat.
No, she really didn't.
That's true.
I'm done doing that in my...
There was like one fatty fall down moment where she like falls down a flight of stairs and it's like, why?
But it wasn't even like a directly fat jacket.
Yeah, it wasn't
Although they have this whole bit, like every outfit she wears in this movie, it has some kind of turtleneck that is supposedly covering up her goiter, and it's just like, and the thing is, they work so hard at it with each fucking outfit, and then they don't fucking do anything with it. And at that point, I'm just like, I don't want you to do a fat joke, but what the fuck are you doing?
This whole thing feels like there was a lot of jokes that were edited out of it, like the whole conversation between her and Claire, played by Kristen Bell, where clearly there's an edit where there's a Breakfast Pub joke in there because they're talking about whether or not she's had sex in a long time.
Yeah.
And she starts to go into the dialogue from the Breakfast Pub, but then it doesn't go there.
Breakfast Pub or the Breakfast Club?
The Breakfast Club. Dude, stop with the product placement. And I'm just like, so what was the point of that whole thing then? That whole scene really kind of went nowhere.
Yeah.
And that was because someone watched it and went, yeah, that joke's been in like 30 other movies.
In the same way, a lot of comedies are basically every scene is sort of setting up like a sketch and then it like moves on to the next scene.
Yeah.
So much of this movie is just setting up a one-liner joke and that's it. And that's like...
That was generally not funny.
Anymore. Yeah.
Someone needs
to... Sometimes they did land for me. Like to Elliot's credit, I think... I'm a little bit softer on this movie than I think both of you guys, but I think the reason why is because it sort of has it deceived me a little bit in the first 3 minutes when she starts rapping on that stage.
Yeah,
I said to myself like, oh no,
it's gonna be one of those.
We have to sit through 90 minutes of this.
Right off the bat.
And then it was better.
You're right. The rest of the movie is better than the first 5 minutes of this film. I will hand you that.
Once they got Samuel L. Jackson's character from Django Unchained out of the movie, I enjoyed it. Like, yes, it's so boss.
I was going to say, he did everything short of Color Massa.
I was like, please don't do this the rest of the movie. Oh, he's out the movie? I can see what you were doing.
What is the thing is, when you've got this movie with this big child cast, who ultimately they don't really do much with, even though there are a couple very distinctive personalities among them that look like they could have done some funny stuff with.
I thought
to myself, why didn't someone turn around and say, hey, Richard Linklater, this actually would be a great movie for you. We'll let you come in, rewrite the script, do what you need to do. It's like, that guy knows exactly how to make this funny.
It's not totally. For that, is the thing. It's like, you're like a parent who wants their child to do better, but the child has realized, all I need to get is a C. And they don't give a fuck. And they're like, look, I'm going to make some money. I'm going to make about $40 million because it didn't cost us that much outside of playing Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Bell.
I don't
know. I'm going to get out the theater and I'm going
to
be done.
I don't know if I'm willing to give Melissa McCarthy the Adam Sandler exception yet, because she still thinks she's genuinely making good movies.
Okay, that's a different
thing. And she occasionally
does. She's capable of making good movies.
She is capable.
She's genuinely talented.
She actually has even acting chops. Yeah. One of the few moments in here I connected with her at all was where she had to deliver a genuinely emotional scene, and she actually pulls it off.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, wow, that was actually...
I see a little verklempt watching
her perform. Yeah.
That's the problem with this movie, is it can't figure out whether it wants to be this... kind of heartwarming tale of somebody horrible redeeming themselves, or if it's going to be, the surrealistic,
Anchorman.
Bizarre Anchorman-ish type comedy, and then just, this very basic pratfall humor in interstice between those. And it's just like, you can't write this way, guys. You've got to do a thorough plot line and then work to support it. You can't just throw shit at the wall and hope it sticks.
Because in the end, it kind of boils down to, you mentioned sort of Hollywood has a Kristen Bell problem. I think you could argue that they still have a Melissa McCarthy problem.
Totally.
Because I get a lot of crap for it sometimes. Like, watch Gilmore Girls. Like, she's genuinely talented. She can emote all kinds of different shit. Like,
I'm not going to give you any crap for Gilmore Girls. I've never watched it, but I've had more than enough people whose opinions I respect say, no, I swear, it's actually a really good job. Yeah. It's one of Joss Whedon's favorite shows.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
For God's sakes. Check it out, kids.
I mean, people I respect really love that show.
Yeah.
But I tell you,
what's a Gilmore Girl?
Shut up, Bob.
it is a great theory that is on Netflix.
I'm not even touching that one.
I didn't mean like that. I meant it like a...
No. Just go forth. Go forth.
I need to take this foot off my mouth. Damn it. I forgot. This is... I tell you, I saw... What was the one? ID Theft, I think it was.
Identity Theft.
That's one of the lowest points in her career,
bad as this was, this is the best thing. This is the best movie I've seen her in. Like, I liked her the most in this movie.
Really? Wow, you didn't like Spy?
I hadn't seen Spy.
Okay.
Spy is great. Yeah. Spy is great, yeah.
So, I mean, it gives me confidence, even that she's stuck in a bad movie, that at least her performance, I could see her going for it.
See, this is still on the lower end for me. I still think all of her work with Paul Feig is better than this, even though I wasn't a big fan of Bridesmaids. And The Heat is just okay. They're both much better films.
But
than
it gives
this
me
is.
It gives me hope for Ghostbusters. Yeah. I'm like, the last thing I had really seen her in was Identity Theft. And I was like, oh, shit.
Well,
but this is like, you know what? Yeah. I can go with it. I'm there.
It took a special kind of fuck up with this cast.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Kristen Bell, Peter Dinklage.
He was horrible.
Tyler Labine, who I think is one of those comedy actors, is really underrated.
Totally underused.
Christian Schaal is in this thing. It's Margot Martindale. You're like, how did you fuck this up this bad?
But let's bring it back. Peter Dinklage, I thought, was a complete misfire. Not on him, but the way they wrote his character. It was like, dude, it broke the believability for me, because I'm like, look, you are so awkward.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever deal with you in the business world.
Exactly. Pretty much ever. Well, yeah.
Well, and they even set up the place like, oh, he's very old fashioned and he doesn't do any business electronically. And I'm like, yeah you can't do that. There's absolutely, literally no way you can do that on this world.
Well, Donald Trump can run for president. He's never sent an email. So.
Well, yeah, listen, one of a thousand things about this movie that if you've seen a show that involved business or news, or walked into a business, you would know immediately.
This is literally
not plausible.
Any kind of business scene, it might as well have been the scene from the Lego Movie where the cat goes in and starts going, business, 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 business.
It's like, but as somebody who writes contracts for a living, I'm just sitting there like, there are five different lawsuits you could file right now.
Oh, yeah. And it's just she starts a child labor business.
Yeah.
It's like, once you start paying them, you're literally breaking the law.
It's funny, me and my girlfriend, we both work at nonprofits, and we're just sitting there like, nope. That would not work, master. No,
and you're not even you're not even talking about one of those if you know a lot about business,
No.
Any idiot will know that this stuff is not going to work.
Tyler Perry would be like, that don't make no sense.
Even Madea wouldn't make a business film this bad.
Yeah, because of that, it makes you wonder if the screenwriter did Ben Falcone write it. Whoever wrote it.
Yes, with Melissa McCarthy and someone named Steve Mallory.
Okay, it makes you wonder if they took the idea of Girl Scout cookies and it makes you wonder if they thought they were the first to be like, why doesn't anyone try to come up with this actual business? Because they make shit tons of money. And it's like, no. They're a nonprofit for a reason.
Yes.
Yeah. Because otherwise it's shady as fuck.
Exactly.
It's like, we're going to get a bunch of children to sell our sugar-filled product right around the end of your New Year's resolution. Because this is something that's good.
Yeah.
That's
and let me tell you this. If you go to most independent contractors, say, yeah, you'll get 10% of your sales. They're going to be like, yeah, fuck you.
It's trying to go with that sort of like rated R absurdist comedy. And yet it also wants to have, like as Bo said, it wants to have its like real grounded heart and humanity too. And I've seen films where they've pulled that off. This just isn't one of them.
It's like,
at all.
It's like trying to get
a sense. I know everybody loves Bad Santa. I'm just not one of those people. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's like you're sitting
in the minority.
To lunch to eat a sensible salad, and you find a clown shoe in your salad. And you're like, well, fuck.
You just pour more ranch on it.
Yeah,
like,
just, Texas.
It's fried.
Fuck it.
That's true. If it's in Texas, the clown shoes are fried.
Texas.
All right, guys. Elliot, continue to your final thoughts.
I'd say I actually started this movie, and just from work today, I just had a horrible day. And, like, this movie almost pulled me out of that. And I gotta say, even though it has a bunch of problems, it's still entertaining to watch. It's something that if you are in a pliable frame of mind, and you are, or you're just not very smart, that's horrible and I seem very exclusionary, but whatever.
Elitist!
Well, fuck it. you will probably enjoy this movie. So don't see it in the theater. See it like after a really bad, like a really bad day or like on a Sunday afternoon. I'll give this at max 5, whatever the fuck covers her, 5 turtlenecks out of 10.
5 dickies.
JC?
One of the things I always say when it comes to comedies, like I place a lot of value in comedies that I can rewatch over and over again. And so this one had things in it that made me laugh. Like it said, so the setup of like individual liners, there's, I mean, maybe 100 throughout the movie, so out of 100, some of them are going to hit. So some of them made me laugh. And for the most part, and it could have just been the deception of, like, that opening scene just making me go, oh, fuck. And then the rest of the movie not being as bad as that moment, sort of tricking me into thinking I liked it. But, yeah, I mean, it totally misused cast. I think everyone was totally misused, and I
totally
didn't play to anyone's strengths at all. Kristen Schaal, like, was unnecessarily mean to her for some reason, and
even though funny enough, she usually plays the unnecessarily mean character.
Yeah, yeah. I give it 5 out of 10 stoner brownies.
Boat.
Of which there were none in the movie.
No,
which was a total missed opportunity.
This is,
you know, it's just sad. It's a shabby film, you know. And the reason all goes into the direction of writing. I do think there's some good performers in here, and they're working with what they have in many cases. But there's just not much there to work with, and everybody kind of ends up, you know, bouncing off of the walls and pratfalling, and you know, trying to hold these very badly worked scenes together, and it just never plays out. Everything in here is so fully telegraphed that nothing can come as a surprise. There's nothing revelatory in the humor at all. It's just, you know, it's a stale soda of a movie. And you know, it's sad because like I said, I'm really looking forward for that great Kristen Bell comedy. Maybe it'll come along soon, but this ain't it.
What about When in Rome?
Josh. Shut up. So yeah, I'm gonna have to give this a 3 completely unnecessary blowjob jokes out of 10.
I'd say you JC and Ellie, you guys are way too nice to this film. 5 out of 10. Jesus Christ, I think y'all gave Batman v Superman lower ratings.
Yeah, if you think this movie got half of its shit right, you're wrong.
I gave Batman v Superman 4 or 3.
Well, I think I gave it like a 2, so in consciousness
I think
of
I just
that,
told that movie to go fuck itself.
I'm
going to
give this 1.5 times I wish I was watching Game of Thrones instead of this. The truth was about 9,000 times out of 10.
Chris, isn't the entire point of our rating system so that we don't compare, well, you gave a 2 out of this one and a...
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Elliot. And yet my point remains.
Yeah, that doesn't mean we're not going to give you a bag of shit for it.
Just so I was clear, I was like, wait a second, that was... It's like it like broke my brain. I was like, wait a second,
wait
what?
A minute. Yes, welcome to oneofus.net, where our ratings are arbitrary and totally made up.
And so are the and so are the times when we decide whether we're going to give you shit about something or not.